Welcome back to the Munichheim Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast one of the hosts thinks he's got that dog in him is a redundant phrase because he is a dog. That's Lenny. I'm Munichheim, and today is a special, special day. We are deep into the offseason, which means instead of having my nerdy friends on, no offense to my nerdy friends on, to talk about football more generally, we get to have a very special guest, an actual NFL player. In the past, we've had Bobby Wagner. We've had Lane Johnson. Basically, unless you are a multiple-time pro bowler, you can't come on the Munichheim Show, I think is the standard I'm setting. Because today's guest is new friend of the pod, but longtime internet friend of mine, Cam Hayward. Yay!
What's up? How we doing?
We're doing good. For those who don't know, and if you're listening to this pod and you don't know this, I don't know why you listen to this pod because that would be very strange. Cam Hayward is one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers, four-time All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler. I have personally advocated for you as a potential future Hall of Famer, which I think might be why we're friends, just because I've simped on the internet. It's definitely why when I met your mom, she said, I love your Twitter. That it has to be why.
No, she just likes the way you talk and you keep it real. And, you know, even if you weren't trying to get me in the Hall of Fame, she would probably still love you. I think she was more excited to be with you than seeing me and my brother at Combine at the time. So
we did take a photo.
Yes. Yes. She wanted me to hold the camera so you guys could take a photo. So she could care less about me.
Your mom's awesome. And yeah, we did meet at the Combine. And when we met and chatted, and IRL, you expressed something to me that I didn't know, which is that you had interest in like doing more media. Cause like, I don't know, your guys, like I've obviously been crushing on the field for a really long time, but I hadn't seen you really put yourself out there that much, doing interviews, doing what TV, all of that. You have done a little bit. But so what I did was I put you on the spot. I don't know if you remember this. And I asked you for just takes. I was just like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And you delivered, which is, by the way, not a lot of times current players do not like to give takes on things happening in the NFL for all the obvious reasons, I guess.
Right. Well, I'm not going to give away my secrets, but I do have opinions and I'm very vocal about them. And not to you, but to mostly everybody else. So now you got me in the right space to just talk crap about me and make fun of me.
We're not gonna get too spicy on here unless you want to get spicy with some of these.
Oh, get spicy! I don't care.
I get spicy, go for it. But you know you might be giving bulletin board material, right?
Right.
Did you do the broadcast boot camp this spring? Okay.
Yes.
So this is like a thing you're legit interested in doing.
Yeah, like I think all these years I've done the interviewing part where you know everybody asks you the same questions and. You know, you only see one part of it. And then to understand the other side and understand all the work you guys do was really cool. And I just wanted to explore it. You know, I'm getting up there in age. I still think I have some time left, but, you know, I want to make sure I'm ready for after football.
That's great. I mean, we had you on NFL Live at the draft, crushed it, seen you on McAfee. I think you're in a good position, but obviously, like you said, you're only 33. Not planning on retiring anytime soon, especially if you
want those Brady's numbers.
Man, how long do you think you can go? How long do you think you can go?
Man, I want five more. If I can get five more. Yeah, my wife might hate me by then, but five more.
That's how old is – oh, no, Clayus isn't that old. I'm trying to think of, like, defensive linemen. Who's the oldest defensive lineman in the league right now?
Calais is probably getting up there.
He's up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But now my group is all getting old. So we're biding our time.
You really are. But you know what? It's like I was just talking to someone about Aaron Donald and with my friend Nate. And we're talking about kind of the aging curve for different styles of players, different positions. I do think, you know, size wise, I mean, not commenting on your career and how long you can play, but generally, I think, you know, someone like you in that spot can play for quite some time. And we're seeing that, you know, more and more as I think the aging curve's changed for all positions.
Yeah. And so like for me, I was pretty lucky. My first 2 years, I didn't play at all. How lucky is that?
Yes.
You know, I went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, 31st overall, but they had already had, you know, a D-line and set. You know, I remember going to countless meetings where my D-line coach would tell me, you're fighting for special teams reps. You're not going to start here right now. So, you know, understanding that. And now I'm at the back end of my career, but I think that kind of benefited me to, you know, rest my body. And now I'm performing better than I ever have.
Yeah, no tread on the tires. It has been such an interesting career arc because of that, you know, like to see you picking up these all pros and these accolades in your 30s is really unique. We're going to talk about that. We're talking about your career. We're talking about stuff off the field because you do a lot of cool stuff off the field. But first, I just kind of want to talk generally about football and get some of those aforementioned takes. So we met at the Combine and you know, we were kind of chopping it up about the QBs. I think it was pretty widely assumed at that time that the Steelers picking at 20 were likely to take a QB. I don't think anyone thought the draft would shake out where you were the only team that would take a QB. Just breaking historical precedent. But I guess I kind of want to ask about, you know, you've played your whole career with Ben Roethlisberger, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know if Kenny Pickett, when he's going to start. Obviously, it's a competition with him and Trubisky, but I do know you've seen, you know, you've watched his tape, you watched him in college, you've seen the dude play. Just so wildly different from Roethlisberger. And, like, how do you see that, like, stylistic evolution playing out?
Well, I feel like now the quarterbacks all have to be able to run. And back then, you know, you could get away. You know, Ben was fleet of foot for his position back then. And it's not a shot at Ben. Brady, Eli, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton now is just was known for just taking sacks because he didn't want to get hit. But, you know, these quarterbacks now are very mobile. It's a different offense where you have the RPOs and you got to be a run factor. And I think the thing with Kenny is how far can he get to that level and how quick does he adjust? You know, Mitch is going to have a leg up in that regard. I know he played in Chicago and didn't have the best record or the best team around him, but I think both of those guys are in a much better position with our defense and the amount of skill players we have.
This amount of skill players is absurd. I think that was my biggest takeaway from your draft coming out of it. Holy shit. Like, you already have a really stacked receiver group. And then to get like a couple of really exciting players in Pickens and Austin with very different skill sets to make that group even more, I guess, diverse. It kind of like, this is not shading on your offensive line, but you know, this was a debate when Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, when everyone was like, okay, are you going to take Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell? I'm sure you remember that. And they went with Chase. And at the time, everyone was like, damn, like, you really got to protect Joe Burrow. But Chase turned into a superstar. And I think now there's like a legitimate argument to be had when you have a young quarterback. What's more important? Giving him a ton of incredible skill set, skill players who can get open, right? Very quickly. Or very focusing quickly on that protection. How do you feel about that?
Well, I hope for our sake, the Bengals never protect their quarterback and we just get the rain down on them. But for us, I think, you know, you got to build your offensive line with continuity, with guys from different places. I thought we addressed it early in free agency. You bring a guy like James Daniels, Mason Cole. You know, you bring those guys in, and you already have some younger guys that have to fill out your roster. We brought back Chuksa Okorafor as well. So I think our offensive line has to be intact a little bit more, has to know what they're getting themselves into. But, you know, for the skill positions, you know, you're only adding to that group. It's not like we really took away. I know we lost Juju, but other than that, I don't think there was a big standout when you look at trying to make sure our wide receivers and skills are great around for our quarterback.
I'm really excited to just see what Matt Canada does with your offense because, you know, because of who Ben Roethlisberger was at that point in his career, I think, you know, Ben wasn't turning his back around and executing play action. And when you did have an RPO game, but, you know, it was very specific to what he did. Now you got these two athletic quarterbacks and suddenly, you know, all that pre-snap motion he does, the boots and the wag. I mean, it could just look totally different. Is that something you're interested in seeing?
Not in practice. Like, you know, I don't have to do so much of running with the running back or wide receiver across, but with that, there does become a lot of shit you got to make sure you keep your eyes peeled to. And a lot of window dressing we always talk about. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, I know everybody's talking about our offensive scheme looking different, but, you know, I am excited to see. And Hopefully they just put up points. You know, the best type of offense is when we're on the best type of defense is when we're on the sideline.
Do you prefer playing immobile quarterbacks to mobile? Well, that seems like a redundant question.
Yeah, that's the easiest question. You know, you're a sitting duck when you do that.
I know, but it's got to be exhausting. I mean, it feels like every year the quarterbacks get faster. I mean, it's really actually. So you were drafted in 2011, right?
Right.
So that was Kaepernick was drafted that year. Then I know you weren't playing, but and then 2012 was Russell Wilson and RG3, and it was like the read option revolution in the NFL. Then it was like kind of quiet for a while where like the NFL went back to drafting pocket passers. But really, Cam, in the last 5 years, you got to chase these guys down. I mean, what has that been like watching these quarterbacks come into the league in recent history?
Okay, now just thinking about it, you were right for asking that question because like thinking about it, like Brady is so diabolical and can screw you up so many different ways that he's not just going to take a sack. He's going to get the ball out. You get some of these younger, you know, inaccurate quarterbacks that think they just run with their feet, you know, they'll fall right into your lap sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it helps our advantage. You know, we go to you go to these teams that think mobile quarterbacks, and then they get to a point and they're like, shit, we didn't even think for them to throw the ball. And then, you know, they're scratching themselves like, why didn't we look for a guy who was more complete in both ways than rather just being a mobile quarterback?
And then, of course, the dream is having a guy like Josh Allen, who's become incredibly accurate from the pocket. But also, I call him Josh Allen Super Soldier when he takes off, because it literally is like someone injected him with Marvel serum. It's so terrifying. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's freaking gigantic. Who's your least favorite quarterback to play in the NFL right now?
Oh, man. Least favorite. I don't know if there is a least favorite. I get excited for all of them because they all talk shit. And so it's fun just to, you know, be able to talk shit back. I don't know if there's a least favorite.
So let's flip to defense. That was a lot of time talking about offense, actually. okay. So when you came in 2011, was that was LeBeau back then, right?
Yeah.
Because there was Steele Kern. There's been so few defensive coordinators in Steelers history. It's like amazing. You get to like Widenhofer. But, you know, ever since actually the Widenhofer days, Steelers defense has been that 3-4 that, I mean, there really hasn't been a lot of change. And when you came into the league, that was huge. It was like, what's your designation? Right. You know, it's like, are you a 3-4 guy, a 4-3 guy? And now things are totally different. I was wondering, like, in Pittsburgh, how the views of, you know, position and positional versatility on defensive line have evolved.
It's completely evolved. You know, I could go from playing a 3-4, we call it a 4-eye, where I'm keying the tackle and I'm lined up inside eye shade. And then I could go from a 3-technique, outside shade of the guard, a 2-eye, inside shade of the guard, a tilt on the center. And then, you know, I could even be in a 9 in some of our run structures, which is between the tight ends. So, you know, you got to be able to play all these different positions. I love it because, like, in college, I was very fortunate to play these different positions. And, you know, everybody said, he could play 3-4. But, you know, I enjoy being able to mix it up and play all these different positions and have that type of flexibility.
This is how I know you're ready for media. You actually explained what all the techniques are. Meanwhile, I was just like, whatever, they know. They know 4-eye. I don't need to be wrong. Wait, how often are you lined up in the 9?
I'm lined up quite a bit. You know, a lot of third and ones, short yardage.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to go out there and scare the hell out of some tight ends.
Well, you guys also have so many big body defensive linemen, although obviously some of them were hurt, that you can kind of stuff inside. And I feel like last year, actually, because of those injuries, you were playing a bit of nose too, right?
Yeah, I went into a game starting at nose for the first time. Let's just say I wasn't concerned with my weight because, you know, like lining up at nose, you're dealing with three bodies the entire game. I was plenty exhausted after that, and I don't want to do that ever again.
Well, obviously you do get some of those guys back this year. Is Alu the oldest guy on the team? Are you second oldest?
I am second oldest, and I will keep it that way. I refuse to be the oldest on the team. That's just too much.
If you stick to the plan you advertised earlier, you will be the oldest pretty soon, though.
No, we're going to find like a kicker that's older or a punter or something.
That's true. Who's your kicker now? What's his name?
Boswell. No one's replacing Boswell, but I'm just talking shit.
I'm trying to think of like.
There's no Mort Andersons. There's no, Kevin Butler's. You know, those were the guys that were older that could play quarterback. I mean, kicker for forever. I don't think we're doing that anymore.
So you came in with LeBeau, then you had Keith Butler, mm-hmm. who just retired.
Right.
And now, so really now, I mean, this is a big change with Terrell Austin being promoted to being the Steelers defensive coordinator. Do you anticipate any changes coming with that?
Just being at the facility now, I'm just starting to realize there's a different level of detail. Not to say Butts wasn't very detailed, but, I think Terrell brings a level of detail from the back end and transfers it up front. And so we are all just learning on the fly and excited to see what comes about for that. It's not like it's his first time being a defensive coordinator. So I think we're all excited to see where, he takes us.
I really liked a lot of what he did on the back end, just the creativity with some of the blitzes, rotating coverages. And I was wondering how that affects your job up front.
Makes it a lot better. If you can't predict where our DBs are going to be, you're going to take time trying to decipher, and then we're able to buy more time and get home to the quarterback more often.
All right. This is the harsher question.
Oh, here we go.
What do you think I'm going to ask?
I don't know. I don't care, but go for it.
All right. So, this Steelers defense has been like a mainstay ever since you've been there, ranking
right
at the top every year after year after year. However, last year, bit of a problem stopping the run.
Yeah.
Is that just injuries or what? I mean, what can you chalk that up to, and how do you see you guys improving that this season?
I think, personally, injuries is a cop-out for me. There's a level of accountability that I have to take as a defensive captain as well. Thank you. But, we weren't our best at stopping the run. And that made it harder in the pass game as well, because if you don't stop the run good enough, then you're just playing, to their scheme. It comes down to, guys lining up in their positions, being able to be accountable for. And hopefully guys have learned from that. Obviously, we had some newer guys in, but, there's no excuse for giving up those yards. And, man, I was distraught after a lot of games when you saw the way our run defense was. And I don't plan on going back to that.
Was the Vikings one of the most frustrating games of your career?
Ooh.
I'm hard hitting. Just because you're a friend doesn't mean I'm not going to. There's
Vikings, the Chargers, the Bengals. Bengals one was very irritating to me, because the first one, because I felt like they got just enough of a lead, right? And the second half, they went up, I think it was like 17-7 or 14-7. And the way it went was they had gotten the lead. They were like, cool, we're not going to put Joe Burrow in any more harm. And so what they did was just kept running the ball. So we never got a chance to even get after the quarterback. And so by that time it was like, shit, we're not putting up any points and they're just going to keep running the ball. They don't care about punting. We're all screwed from here on out.
Yeah. That has to be also frustrating because, the Bengals offensive line, I think they're better. They were better at run blocking than pass mm-hmm. pro, but just seeing them spam that outside zone run with Joe Mixon over and over and over and over, just like, Jesus, really can't stop this. All right.
You know where it's going. No. Go ahead. Keep going.
It was frustrating. Okay. I know you're going to say that you expect your defense to be one of the top units in the NFL last year. I think there's a mm-hmm. lot of reason to agree with that. Not just
right.
past precedent, guys getting healthy, guys coming. Who else do you see amongst your ranks? I know you keep tabs on things going around the NFL, additions mm-hmm. made to other units around the league. Like, who do you view generally as being in your tier?
Ooh, I always think Baltimore has a really good defense. But when I look at just across the whole NFL, and I look at teams that are similar to what we're going through, because of, you know, the offensive changes. I like New Orleans as well. Cam Jordan and company.
That defense is always sick.
Yeah. You know, they always come to play. And they've, you know, they lost Hendrickson to Cincinnati. He's balling out. And I liked what the Chargers have done. I think they really are looking to turn some heads. We've talked about this. You know, they got to make sure they're able to stop the run, because just like us, they have a big, they had a big, you know, gap in the middle that everybody was taking advantage.
And I'm not sure if they really fixed, like, I'm really high on the Chargers generally, but that's the one thing that remains like a slight concern for me. I know they brought in Sebastian Joseph Day. Brandon Staley seems intent on signing every Ram, by the way. I don't know if you just saw, they brought back Morgan Fox. He's bringing back all of his guys, right? But, and then of course you got Khalil Mack, who's a really underrated run defender.
Right.
And that's going to help them set the edge too. And then, you know, they signed J.C. Jackson. That's great. But when I look at the spine of that defense, I'm still a little bit worried about whether.
Just like you grilled me, go more into that spine. What do you want to get to?
I'm not naming names. I'm just saying the linebacker group maybe needs a little bit of help. That's all I'm saying. You know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I still think they're going to be really good. I mean, well, that brings me to the next question. Because, okay, this is where I'm actually going to make you do takes.
Okay.
Tough takes.
Go for it.
Who is an NFL team that you think people are underestimating going to this season? You can't say Pittsburgh. And potentially overestimating. Potentially. You can couch it in a bunch of stuff so that no one aggregates you.
Man. Okay. Underestimating. I think everybody is underestimating.
I should have sent you these before. Sorry.
Okay. Overestimating. We're going to go overestimating. This is easy. You know, I think everybody makes a big deal about what Miami did. And they talk about Tariq coming there. You know, I think, and I think there's a little bit of Cleveland in there too. You know, I think you really don't know what Deshaun brings.
He's been out almost
2 years.
We don't even know if he's going to play, man. So like that one you can just throw out. But Miami, I want to hit on Miami a little bit more. Do you think it's more offense or defense?
I think it's offense. I like their defense. Yeah. You know, Christian Wilkins, you know, they got a really good secondary. They got my guy from Ohio State. Man, why am I blanking? Linebacker.
Ogba's not Ohio State, is he?
No, not Ogba. Inside linebacker.
Oh, Landon Roberts? No, inside. No.
Oh, man.
Did they sign? They signed someone. You mean a new player, right? They signed.
No,
someone.
He was there last year. And all he did was blitz against Lamar. And they got like 4 or 5 sacks that game. It was crazy. But I'll just talk more about Miami. I just think their offense, you know, they were so ready to trade Tua. And now it's turned into, oh, he can lead the franchise. I don't know how that works, but, you know, it doesn't sound like that's going pretty good.
So you're questioning like the, you know, the belief, and then, and obviously they're putting him in an incredible position to succeed.
Right.
So it's kind of put up or shut up time. All right. Exactly. Underestimating. Positive.
Underestimating. Oh man.
Team's going to be good.
I got to choose the NFC because I'm not giving any AFC teams.
Fine.
I think everybody's not talking about the Rams enough. Like, you know, everybody is like, oh, Brady came back. Oh, you know, I think, you know, they're ready to say Tampa's ready to claim the title again. I just think, you know, Matt Stafford just won a championship. And once you get to that, you know, to the top of the mountain, I think you're ready to stay there. And I don't think – you got to have somebody, like, dethrone you before you just start throwing them out and say, I don't think they're going to make it.
They're still very good. Very good roster, very deep, made a lot of additions. All right, well, speaking of the Rams, feel like – people put Aaron Donald on this mountain, and then they say, all right, then we got Cam, we got a Grady Jarrett. How does that make you feel? And like, what is your perception of how you're perceived relative to other defensive linemen?
Ooh. Yeah. It pisses me off. Hands down. Like, you know, I think I'm if not the most complete player at my position. You know, I know Aaron is, you know, a really talented guy, but don't just shy away and say, oh, it's Aaron Donald and everybody else. Shit, it's Cam and Aaron and everybody else.
Hey. Who's everybody else? Grady, Justin Simmons, I think it's kind of interesting. Chris Jones, obviously.
DeForest Buckner. Yeah, dude. I thought Justin had a really good year. You know, I think Justin is just starting to enter this. And I think for many years, you could see, you know, the engine, you know, the wheels just keep turning. And then he finally just put it together this past year.
All right. After the break, we come back. We talk more about off the field stuff, your life, everything you're up to, and your career.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MinaShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaShow, MinaShow.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, Cam, we're back. So I want to talk a little bit about your draft because I think I don't remember when I was talking to you, I was talking about like, oh, yeah, I remember kind of you like obviously are you surpassed draft expectations. You were like, Mina, I was a first rounder. But the reason I said that and I had kind of I remembered, you know, you were like there was a little bit of a fall with some injury concerns and all of that. Tell me what that was like generally.
Oh, that was terrible. Like I hated it. For me, you know, I got hurt in the Sugar Bowl. I tore my elbow. I had Tommy John surgery. And so I was distraught about where I was going to end up. Like there were so many different things where you just don't know. I wasn't able to do the combine. I literally was at Senior Bowl and my shirt was being like bled through. It's talking to coaches. So, you know, it was a catastrophe and I wasn't ready to like put that all in words. But, you know, I think I got to my pro day, had a really good pro day, talked to the Steelers and a bunch of other teams. And, you know, I just left it up to chance. And then it got to, you know, draft night. I had my family there in Atlanta because I didn't want to be Brady Quinn. I didn't want to be the guy in New York that everybody's seeing his friends go and then you're just there for another day. But, you know, it got to the end of the first and saw the Jets pick was up and my phone rang and then my agent goes, that's a 412 number. And knowing me, I know what a 412 number is. That's a Pittsburgh number. So got the call, couldn't hear anything because everybody was screaming. But, you know, the rest is history and I'm happy it happened.
Do draft prospects look up area codes before draft night to have a sense who might be quiet?
No. And then this is the thing, though. They, like, all give you, like, their numbers, and you still don't have the right number that they're going to call from by that night.
Right. Yeah. So it's, I mean, but like, it's one of those things where, I mean, I remember in 2018, Lamar Jackson was in the room and watching him. I feel so bad for him because it was dropping and dropping. You remember that? The Ravens took a tight end before him. His teammate, Jair Alexander, who's amazing, just got paid, was taken before him. And he was kind of, he had his head down and his mom was next to him. And then he lands with the most perfect team possible for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, do you feel like that's kind of what happened with you as well?
Oh, definitely. You know, looking at the guys, you know, every time I see one of the guys from my draft retire, I'm like, that's a check off my list. You know, my goal is to outlast all of them at 38 years old. But, you know, I think I couldn't ask to be in a better spot, you know, understanding that they had a plan for me. And, you know, this is where I wanted to be at the very beginning.
Who took you under your wing, or under their wing, rather, when you came in?
Oh, who didn't take me under their wing? I feel like there were so many people, whether it was Troy Polamalu, Brett Kiesel, Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, they all took me under their wing. And I just, for me, like my first 2 years, it was like, just shut up and be a sponge. Like, there's not anything you can say because they have every answer to every book. And, you know, it's up to me to just realize what they've done and appreciate it. And make sure when my number is called, I'm ready to play.
Now, I imagine you're being the old man, take people under your wing. But are you ever like, damn, I'm too old for this shit? Like, when would you just see some of the stuff the rookies do?
Hell no. I can't be Danny Glover yet. Like, you can't just put me in the Lethal Weapon. Like, we're not too old for this shit. Like, you know, I think for me, you know, I don't have a TikTok yet, but
I was just about to ask about has anyone ever made you, I'm not naming names, but has anyone ever asked you to be in a TikTok?
I think I have been in the TikTok. And I don't even know if I even like agreed to it, but I was just there. But you know, now the thing is TikTok, and like they're like, you need to join. It'd be great for your, you know, your social media platform. So we'll see. Do you have a TikTok?
I don't, but I'm in them all the time because Laura Rutledge, who's the host of NFL Live, is a very active TikToker. So we'd be in a studio and she'd be like, hey, everybody stand in line. And I'd be like, all right. So like, I would just agree to whatever she told. I'm just like fall in line kind of person. So I would just agree to whatever she, unless it's dancing. I wouldn't do the dances. But if like I needed
No, you did the dances before. Don't try that. You were on there. I saw it when you were dancing. Yeah.
Barely. You know who hates TikTok with passion? Ryan Clark.
Oh, he does.
He's a big social media guy, as you know.
Yeah, that's the funny part. He hates TikToking.
He posts a lot of selfies. Not there are selfies because they're like really nicely taken by other people. But he posts a lot of his looks on Instagram. I'm sure you follow him, right? You've seen those looks.
Yes. RC is notorious for that.
Actually, tell me something about Ryan Clark that people might not know from your playing days.
Oh, that I was ready to fight Ryan Clark one day?
Explain yourself.
I don't know how it started. And he could tell you. It's not like it's a secret or anything, but like there was a day, I think it was like 2013, and you know, I wasn't starting at the beginning of the season, and he called me a bust. And I was ready to swing on him right then and there.
Like your face?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were about to fight right then and there. Yeah, you can talk to Ryan about that. But, you know, then it was like a couple weeks later, and we had just lost in London. And so we had a long plane ride home. And this is the game where AP, like, ran through us and, like, was, you know, I remember IT had an angle on him. And all you see is AP just keep going right past him. You're like, damn. But we got back on that plane, and all I remember is Ryan Clark coming up to me, and he goes, bro, so why are you not starting? And I was like, why do you think? Like, I've been waiting to start.
That's so Ryan, going from calling you a bust to being like, you should be starting, actually.
Yeah.
That is perfect Ryan story, to a T. One more question about your career, actually, before I get to other things. Like, how would you say you've developed as a pass rusher over the last few years? And then even lately, like, do you find yourself adding things to your repertoire?
Man, I'll be honest. Like, in college, I had no pass rush game whatsoever. And, you know, pass rush has taken on a different level in the past, what, 10 years? But I think now I'm just way more savvy. I understand what works for me. Understand how I can beat a offensive lineman. I can use things that they want to do against me. And I just think technique-wise, it's better than it's ever been for me.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what you were like in your early days.
Oh.
A lot of bull rush. Just a lot of bull rush.
Bull. You know, I like to think I mix it up every now and then. And, you know, that saves me in the game. I don't have to just rely on my strength. Now I can go out there, be as free as a butterfly and have, you know, a multitude of moves that help free me up. And, you know, I get to, you know, have more fun. I don't have to be as monotonous and just a bull rush.
To your earlier point, though, do you think you could come into the NFL now as a first rounder, you know, playing inside and not have, you know, a group of moves? I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, I think you and I talked a little about the Jordan Davis pick and like, mm-hmm. You know, we look at some of these guys coming into the league as three techs and it feels like, you know, there's more demands than them ever to be a little bit more polished maybe than there were a few years ago because of how the game has evolved.
I don't think it's ever changed. You know, you look like back to like the Tyson Jacksons at LSU. And, you know, I think 3-4 has always been so coveted and respected that you could be a little bit more raw and not have a plethora of moves. And so, you know, I think it relies on your pass rush coach and your D-line coach. He's got to have some savviness and be able to set you up for success. Sometimes they just want guys that are, you know, a proven commodity and they don't have to work at. But I think your better players, those are the guys that have to keep working at it, that know they have to be better at the position as they keep going in the career.
So speaking of coaches, you've had Mike T your entire career.
Yes.
Has he ever scared you?
Scared me? Why the hell would I be scared of him?
Or intimidated you? Have you ever been? You can't do a bit of today, is that boy?
No, I've never been intimidated. Not a chance. It doesn't work like that. Mike T's not trying to scare you. Like, he might embarrass you plenty of times. You know, he might make you, ostracize you where the fact that you've messed up on a play. But I don't think there's ever been a point where I've been scared of Mike T. That's not the type of relationship we have.
He just seems very intimidating. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. He has been. Because he doesn't blink. That's exactly it. I didn't want to say it. You said it. I'm scared of anyone who doesn't. Those eyes. You've never looked at those eyes and been like.
Nah. Mike T's my guy. I run through a wall for him. And, you know, I respect him so much that there's nothing I wouldn't do for that guy. Like, I want to make sure I get him a Super Bowl to say, you know he's got Super Bowls, but I want to be able to say, like, I got my coach a Super Bowl. I was able to deliver and make sure that I held up my end of the bargain.
Obviously, he's an incredibly successful coach, incredible record. And then, like, but, you know, sometimes people call him a player's coach, which is a label that's been criticized, I think, because of the racial undertones. Do you feel like that denigrates, like, his accomplishments and what he does for your team?
Yeah. You know, most of the time they do call black head coaches players coaches. Mike T wants the best from you. And to think that it's denigrated to his skin color and it's looked at as, oh, he just hangs out with his players, you know, that's bullshit to me. That guy, he's a student of the game. He's constantly in the film room looking at plays and making sure where we need to be, where we're supposed to be. There are plenty of times in summers before where he's like, hey, make sure you look at this because I want to do this during camp. And I'm like, shit, we haven't even got to mini camp. And I'm like, all right, like I'll get ready and I'll make sure I know what I got to do. But, you know, we have, you know, I think we have one of the best coaches in the NFL. And I'm not just talking now, but all time. there's not a lot you can say about a man who's never had a losing season. That shows that he's able to make sure his players are fighting for him. And there is a level of accountability in our locker room. We know we have to perform. And he lays it out every day. The humiliation part is a part of it. And I like that because it lets guys know, oh, shit, I f***ed up. He's going to put me on the board. But everybody's going to see it. And everybody appreciates that.
When was the last time he put you on the board?
Oh, it might have been that Minnesota game. I made one mistake and I was like, shit, he got me. it was not nice. And I knew what he was doing. But I appreciate it. Like, I might not have, in that moment, I was like, here it goes again. But I'm not going to shy away from that. You know, I make mistakes just like everyone does too.
Just less.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I won't make the same mistake.
So I'm not sure everyone knows this, but your dad, Craig, played in the NFL. Yes. Mm-hmm. And passed away, I think, when you were 16. Do I have that correctly? So it was before your teenager.
Before
team.
My
so
senior year.
Before you college. So before you became a college star and then an NFL star. I mean, what was that like kind of entering those phases of your career, you know, after he had passed away and kind of fulfilling in a lot of ways some of the things that, or I guess echoing some of the things he had accomplished?
Yeah. You know, it was tough for me. Like to lose that part of my life and to not know I was going to be able to experience that with my dad. It hurt me for a while. You know, I would say I was lost a little bit, but you know, having my mom, she picked up the slack. You know, I think we would go on college recruiting trips and she would ask the most, you know, in detail questions to these defensive coaches that they were like, who the hell is this lady? Like, you know, she was like, so do you run a 3-4? Do you run a 4-3? Where do you see my son playing, outside, inside? You know, I appreciated that because it let me know that my dreams are still available. And everything I want, she made sure I was able to accomplish my dreams. And now, you know, I'm back in Pittsburgh, never thought I would be, and I still get stories about my dad. You know, it's all come full circle, and I just get to, you know, share these moments and these experiences from him and me, you know, on another stage, and it's fun to just hear.
Speaking of your mom, I mean, so you come from like a family, I think, of pretty strong women, at least based on what I'm meeting her, what I've read. I was just reading about how it was your grandma who was a teacher who went to Carleton University, and I read about that because you gave a commencement address there, and you got an honorary degree. What was that? Were you nervous? What was that like?
I was nervous as hell. Like, I was not, you know, to be known as a doctor, I never thought, and I know it's an honorary doctorate. But I was ecstatic to, you know, my grandma was very ecstatic. She went there all 4 years, and that was the only way she was going to be able to teach because they had a great scholarship program where she would teach as she was going to school. And so she needed that. And she told me she would go to school on Saturdays and during the summer just to make sure she was able to, you know, provide. And both of my grandparents actually were part of education system. My grandfather was one of the first Black teachers in Pittsburgh. And then he went on to be part of the school board. So, you know, they were always big on education. And it was a great, you know, opportunity for me to just say I'm proud of her and her accomplishments, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't.
Well, I guess along those lines, I mean, you picked 38, so that's in 5 years. Mm-hmm. What do you see yourself doing in 10 years?
Oh, man. Besides coming back on the Mina Kimes podcast.
You'll have your own podcast by then, so I'll be begging for an invite.
Oh, there will be plenty of invites for Mina Kimes. But I think for me, obviously I'll be able to be at home with the kids a little bit more. And maybe I'll be able to get part of that broadcasting crew somehow, some way. We'll see if they want me there.
Would you rather call games or like be on a studio show giving your opinions?
Oh, that's interesting because like I did that broadcast boot camp. You actually did both, and I was like, oh shit, I'm not going to be ready for, you know, being in the booth. Like that's a different animal. I actually enjoyed it a lot. I thought, and I think it'd even be more enticing because you get like the crowd behind you and just get to feel it a lot more. But you know, it's one thing. That's one thing. But then also seeing in a studio because you're working with a team, you get to continue to just keep the ideas fresh, and you get to have a lot of fun. I get to see Mina do a lot of cool things and have a lot of fun and talk a lot of shit about a lot of people.
I do talk a lot of shit. Yeah. It's one thing for you to talk shit and everyone would be like, yeah, actually, all right. But like, whenever I do it and then I'm like, I go to the combine, I'm like, damn, these like coaches.
No, who said that you couldn't, you know, be affluent in football? Like, I think it's very cool that like, you like football, you like talking football, you know what you're talking about, and you have my stamp of approval. I don't think you need it, but...
Thank you. No, I do need it. But to your point, like doing the studio shows, the best part is being part of like a team. Because it really does feel like a lot of my... Dan talks about this all the time. It's like, man, this is like the first time I feel like I'm like back in like a locker room. Because like, we all depend on each other. We joke around. We do a lot of joking around. I think that's what makes that a fun format generally.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy it because, you know, you get to see that other side of people and you get to still be involved. You get to be a part of a team. And I just think there's a lot that you can put a stock into that. I think there are some people who enjoy talking, some people who enjoy talking shit. You get to combine both and you get to talk about football. How great is that? Like, that's awesome.
It's like being in the bar, you know? Yeah. All right. Come back. As always, dinks and dunks.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
All right, guys. 5 questions for our illustrious special guest. 4 from me, 1 from Lenny. I already prepared Cam for the general tone of Lenny's line of questioning. He looks a little nervous, but he should be nervous. You should be nervous, actually. You really should be nervous. Okay, question number 1. Which team has the best jersey in the NFL and which team has the worst?
Ooh.
Jersey takes. And you can't pick the Steelers.
Okay. Worst? You're going to hate me, Mina. Seattle.
Which ones, though?
I hate that lime green.
Action green. Yeah, none of those suck. That's a totally good answer. Some people like them. I hate them. They're embarrassing. And they always wear them on national games. And for me, it's like, if someone in your family shows up dressed like horrible and everyone sees them, you know, like that's how I feel when they.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like kids spit up.
It looks like slime, like Nickelodeon slime. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a totally good answer.
Okay. And then I would say it's a tie for me because I remember playing like Madden growing up and there were like a couple of jerseys that really like stood out. You know, those Chargers baby blue. Those powder blue ones, those were my favorite. And then I remember the Miami orange.
No.
I love those. Oh. Those are so cool.
The correct answer is all of the Chargers uniforms are the best.
I don't know about all of them. I hate the Navy. I don't like the Navy.
Oh. The Royals. Okay. The Royals. It's beautiful. All right. Powder Blue is the elite uni. Yes. For me, it's the Powder Blues and the All White Saints jerseys are my two favorites.
No, All Black Saints. All Black Saints.
All Black Saints are good too. Basically, all the Saints uniforms are quite good. Okay, because black, gold, and white is like a cool combo. Mm-hmm. The Steelers throwbacks, you must hate wearing those.
No, I like them.
The stripey ones?
The Bumblebees?
Ugh.
What's wrong with the Bumblebees?
As a big man, you like wearing those horizontal stripes?
I make it look good.
Not flattering on anyone, man. All right, that question two. You and I both watched the show Winning Time. Both liked it. You finished it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Loved it.
What are your three favorite TV shows of all time?
Ooh, three favorite. I watch a lot of the same shows over and over again.
You should make it easy.
Ted Lasso's up there.
Nice.
I can't even put Game of Thrones because I hate the way it ended. The Office is another one. But I like Parks and Rec better than The Office for some reason. I know.
Really?
Yeah. There's no Parks and Rec without The Office, but I feel like Parks and Rec took it to a different level.
Mm. That's a good answer. Yeah, those are good answers. I like those answers. Yeah. Very positive. Yeah. Those are all like kind of like earnest, positive shows.
Yeah, I can't watch shit that like makes me feel bad, especially at night. I'm a big baby when it comes to that. Like for me, I gotta like watch something that's very like earnest and very like calming and like funny. So
I'm the same way. Okay, question three. If you had to give up one of the two, cheese or chocolate, which would you give up?
Cheese. I love chocolate.
I couldn't give them cheese. Because cheese is in so many, it's in so many dishes.
Just don't have cheese.
How do you eat pasta?
Without cheese.
How do you eat pizza? You can never eat pizza again.
Just don't have
pizza. Or like a good sandwich. Oh my God. This is
terrible. No, you don't need cheese. Like cheese doesn't always make the sandwich.
I eat cheese every day. No, I'm about to make a cheese sandwich right now.
A grilled cheese, you mean?
No, sandwich with cheese. I got all the fixings downstairs. Put it together. But grilled cheese. Whew, couldn't give up grilled cheese.
Fire.
Well, not in your world. All right. Question four. You just had your 33rd birthday party. Am I correct?
I did.
33? Big 33. You had it at Dave & Buster's. You did a great thing. You invited a ton of kids who are less fortunate to come celebrate with you. So cool. Mm-hmm. My question is, what game at Dave & Buster's do you totally dominate?
Oh, Papa Shot. It's no question.
Everybody always says Papa Shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Papa Shot. And I would say, I'm a stickler. Like when I go to like places like that, I want to win the most tickets and stuff. So like, there's always the ones that do the, I used to do this with my dad. We go to all these different like game arcades and we play the ones where you got to make the coins come down. And then, you know, you make like the, I think there was one with like Star Trek and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm always collecting those. And then you get a bunch of, you know, tickets for that. So, you know, I'm a hustler when it comes to that.
I think we're both from the Chuck E. Cheese generation.
Yes.
You have birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese ever? Or you go to birthday parties growing
up? Yeah. But now I like look back at her. I'm like, Chuck E. was weird as shit. Like,
the animatronic band.
Oh my
gosh. Is the most upsetting thing ever created. And we were all just okay with it as we ate the cardboard pizza. And we were like, this is fine. But I was to make a confession, which is I also loved accumulating tickets. And the thing I would used to do, my brother taught me this move. You might be familiar with it. Is if you saw a kid walking around with like a long train of tickets, you would step on it.
Wow. You're a terrible human being.
You never did that? You never did that?
No, I never did.
Wow.
But I did have a friend whose brother worked at he worked at Dave & Buster's. And, you know, he was like hoarding tickets and then giving them to his brother. He was like, hey, I need you to go in and I need you to get this Xbox for me. And then he got fired like 2 weeks later.
They have Xboxes at Dave & Buster's?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
They didn't have those at Chuck E. Cheese. The best thing you could
get
was like a water gun.
Oh. Or you get like one of those Pong balls and it just goes back and forth.
Prizes are so shitty, but I cared so much about getting tickets. There's a lesson in there. All right.
And they were like probably like a dollar each.
Oh my God. I know. You'd be like playing all these games for like a stuffed animal that you could get for like a dollar store. All right. Last question, as always, comes from Lenny. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
This is tough. This is not nice.
All right.
So Lenny, big football fan, big fan of yours, obviously, co-host of football, I guess. So he, you know, he knows that you had a pretty tough time in the wild card round against Kansas City. Not great, not the best. And then he went up and looked up your head-to-head since you started playing, and he realized you're 0-3 against Patrick Mahomes. So he wants to know if you would just consider forfeiting next time you play him.
Hell no, Lenny.
Save yourself a lot of trouble. Save yourself a lot of trouble, he said.
You know, Lenny, I got two dogs at home right now, and they're going to come see you soon. We got beef now.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, we got some. I know I got some work to do. He's got three games on me, but you know,
what kind of dogs are they?
I have a golden doodle and a sheepadoodle.
I thought you were gonna say pit bulls or something. Oh, Lenny could take your dogs, your sissy little dogs.
No, no, they're big as hell. They think they're lap dogs, but they're both 90 pounds each. So what's up?
Those are designer dogs. Lenny comes from the streets.